Welcome to KPTZ's Nature Now, a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of kptz.org.
Hello, and welcome to Nature Now for the first week of April. I am Nan Evans, and my beat on Nature Now is the natural history of the marine world of the Salish Sea around us. Today, I'm going into the field with Wendy Feltham for some belly biology. Well, more about that in a few minutes. But first, as always, we'll start with a mystery sound. Then later on in the program, we'll let you know what it is. Well, that was really short. Let's hear that again. So here's a clue. Although usually very quiet, this animal around Port Townsend makes this call as part of its courtship behavior. So first, let's see what's been happening in the last week or so. Charlie Fleischman, our trusty sound engineer, will help me share recent observations around our area.
Members of the Natural History Society had an outing to the beach at Port Williams near Squim last week. Highlights were seeing large flocks of about 200 brant that flew past the walkers three times before settling in a cove where they were feeding and fattening up with eelgrass and sea lettuce for their flight north to nest in the wet coastal tundra of the high Arctic.
They also saw enormous clumps of the beautiful kelp Macrocystis. This is the perennial kelp. It's found mostly along the California coast. Seeing Macrocystis on our beaches is a relatively uncommon occurrence. The kelp species usually seen in Jefferson County is Nereocystis, which is an annual plant that grows up from tiny spores each year.
And they saw many 3 to 4 inch long eel-like gunnels squirming under the rocks they picked up. They were mostly saddleback gunnels and the bright green pinpoint gunnel. And, of course, I know that they carefully replaced those rocks to their original positions.
The folks at the Orchid Network have been awed by the regular presence of humpback and gray whales, along with the resident J-pod and the transient or Biggs orcas in our waters this winter. Last year, few humpbacks were seen at all in the Salish Sea.
There is also an incredible photo on the Orchid Network website of a baby elephant seal still with its fetal folds. A baby elephant seal shows creases along its side from being curled up in its mother's womb.
It's interesting to me that the mother and pup are alone on the beach. Elephant seals usually breed and give birth to their young in rookeries with many, many other individuals, such as the rookery at Race Rocks near the southern tip of Vancouver Island. Well, moving on to our conversation and interview. This week's interview is a little different than most of the Nature Now programs. I have brought in a recording from a recent field trip that I took with Wendy Feltham to the Boat Haven. We wanted to see what marine critters we can find attached to the docks and pilings. Wendy is a frequent contributor to Nature Now, and she's just a fun person to go with on a field trip. So you will be hearing background sounds of the winds, the sailboat halyards slapping against the masts, and the workings of the boatyard. We're down at the Boat Haven. We're still in the car looking out. It's a little windy outside. I'm here with Wendy Feltham, and Wendy and I are going to go out and have a little belly biology session. Belly biology, what is that? Well, I first heard the term used by the Marine Science Center and by Jeff Adams out in the Beach Watchers program. And it's pretty straightforward. You just lay on your belly on the docks and see what you can see. It's a great thing to do if the weather's a little funky or if the tide is high and you really want to see what's outside or if you're just curious down by the docks. So, welcome, Wendy, and do you have anything else to add before we go outdoors?
Well, it's pretty amazing all that you can see here at the Boat Haven, just looking over the edge of the docks. I'm fascinated by all of the invertebrates that I can find at the low tides and the minus tides walking along the beaches. But what's really interesting here at the Boat Haven is that you see a complete different assortment of creatures, things that you wouldn't find at the low tides because it's a really different habitat. And what I've learned is that the Salish Sea is very, very rich in biodiversity in our harbors, much more so than San Francisco Bay, for example, or Coos Bay in Oregon. There's more variety right here where we live.
That sounds great. Well, let's put on our coats and get out there on the docks.
Well, here, just really close to the ramp down to the boat haven, you can start looking at the tubes and all of that are in the water. They contain water and fresh water and electricity for the boats. And they're covered in animals. And these are animals that have attached themselves because that's how they live. For example, the Plumos anemones.
So we're seeing them down there. There's a one right here that's sort of white and one a little deeper that's a little on the yellow side.
Right. Most of them are white, but sometimes they get that yellow-brown color. And they're called Plumos anemones because they look like feathers when their tentacles come out to feed. And these are the most common anemones that you'll find in marinas. Whereas if you go walking out at North Beach, for example, the most common anemone is one that attaches itself to rocks, the aggregating anemone or the pink-tipped green anemone. So you'll see a different species here than you will there at low tide.
So what else are we seeing on these pipes and tubes that are underwater?
They're also covered in barnacles. And I know people with boats don't like barnacles, but barnacles are pretty incredible animals. They attach themselves to where they're going to live their whole life out. They attach themselves head first, and then they send their feet out, and you can see them doing it right over there. It looks like the feathers that are coming out of the end of the barnacle. And what they're doing is grabbing bits of plankton and bringing it inside to eat.
So they're kind of feeding with their feet, right? Just kind of, or their fingers or toes or something, pulling them through the water and catching things. Is that right?
Yeah, they're filter feeders. And as they're grabbing those bits of food from the water, those teeny bits of plankton, they're filtering the water. They're helping keep the water clean. So they're actually helping the marina.
And what's this sort of frilly thing down here underneath the...
Oh, that's another Plumos anemone. It's brown. So you see the stalk underneath?
Oh, so we're seeing the white frill, and we're looking essentially down on its mouth, right?
Right. And there are all kinds of colonial animals that live on the docks as well. There's one example right below us. It looks just kind of like a stringy seaweed, but actually that's a colony of hydroids. And hydroids are pretty interesting animals. And one thing that I like about them is that they attract nudibranchs. So I once found the most beautiful nudibranch of all eating hydroids down here at the marina.
Which made me, of course, try to get down closer to see if I can see a nudibranch, but I can't. What about this sort of reddish-colored stuff?
I'm not sure what that is, but I want to take you over here to show you something else that is really interesting.
Okay, so now, of course, we're going to get up off our knees. We're walking to another spot, and Wendy, there's a bunch of stuff on the dock. What is this?
There are two different types of crabs, and they are just the shells and legs because the river otters like to find crabs, climb up onto the dock here, and eat them, and then they leave little bits of crab all over.
Of course, anybody who's ever spent time down by any docks in this area of the Salish Sea knows river otters and their droppings. So we've got another spot here. We're kneeling down. And I'm going to get down a little further even, literally on my belly.
What I like about this spot is you can see three different kinds of marine worms right here. Now, I was never interested in worms until I moved to Port Townsend and started noticing the incredible variety of marine worms. Their shapes, their colors, like right there, you can see a feather duster. And it has a very long tube, and at the end of it, what look like feathers are the tentacles that are feeding.
And the feather colors are sort of reddish, and the tubes are kind of brownish, right?
That's right. If you look closely, those tubes are, they call them parchment tubes. If we could reach in and move them around, you'd see they're quite flexible. Now, coming out at the end, you said they're reddish, and they do look reddish at first sight, but if you look closely, you'll see they're actually sort of maroon and an indigo colors, maybe even a greenish color, hard to define, but two different colors, and those are our northern feather dusters. Beautiful marine worms. Now, when they go inside, they don't have a trap door covering them. But contrast it with these right here. These are the calcareous tube worms. And when they pull themselves inside to protect themselves, they have a trap door, an operculum, that covers the end of their tube.
So the calcareous ones are the ones with these sort of white tubes that are kind of plastered to the float, and their tentacles look like they're kind of red and white striped?
That's right, yeah. And these are red trumpet calcareous tube worms, so it looks like a little trumpet that is their operculum. They look to me like a little bouquet of flowers. I think they're absolutely gorgeous worms. And then there's a third worm here. It's hard to see right now, but it has a shorter tube than the northern feather duster, which can be quite long, like up to a foot long. This one is only about 2 inches long. It's that same type of parchment-y tube. And this one is called the split branch feather duster. And if you look closely at it, it's beautiful. Its tentacles split in two at the end. And these tend to just be one color. They can be all beige, like this one here, or all sort of a caramel color, brown, slightly orange, apricot color, but beautiful looking at them close up. Let's go over here.
Before we go, I know what this is, but why don't you talk to the listeners? What I'm looking at is I see a little piece of white. It's kind of coming out of a cluster of mussels, and it's got sort of white, longish tentacles.
Yeah, it's interesting that so many different animals have those tentacles to capture their food. And what we're looking at is a white sea cucumber. And those are beautiful tentacles that, again, look has the appearance of a flower. So it's feeding right next to another white animal, which is one of the Plumose anemones.
It looks like a young one.
Right, that's really small. That's the most common of the anemones down here.
Okay, so what else do we want to look at? Wendy's got another spot, having spent a lot of time down here. Whoa, that's a curious thing. Do you want to describe what it looks like? Oh, I can see another one of those white sea cucumbers. But what this thing we're looking at looks like, and then tell us how you figured out what it is.
Well, this is the creature that puzzled me more than anything else. Usually when I come down to the marina, I photograph an animal, then I go home and look in books and online and figure out what it is. This one took me months to figure out. It looks like a big blob, a big jello blob covered in little cups about half an inch across, and it jiggles back and forth with the currents. It's dark brown, and the rims of these little cups are cream-colored. And what this is actually is a colony of worms, another example of really interesting marine worms. These are slime tube feather dusters.
So they're sort of like the worms we just looked at, but they're tubes instead of being stiffer with either the parchment or the calcium carbonate are sort of soft and, yeah, you said slime tubes. They're just sort of fleshy things.
Right. Apparently they're kind of like the parchment, but they put out this sliminess that grows between them. So that's why it looks like one big blob.
And are they filter feeding on the same kinds of things that the other tube worms are?
I believe they are, yeah. And then if you look below it, see the sort of whitish, clear animals? They're about 3/4 of an inch long and 1/2 inch wide. Do you see those?
Oh, yeah. They're to the
the left of the slime blob.
Right. Those are actually tunicates.
Really? And talk to us a bit about what a tunicate even is.
Tunicates are another kind of animal. We've talked about marine worms and anemones. Another family are tunicates. And these animals all have two siphons. One brings water in, and with the water come the nutrients that it then digests, and then it spurts out what it doesn't use. And tunicates are also known as sea squirts. So often if you're walking along at low tide, for example, and you get squirted, it could be a clam or it could be a tunicate. In this case, this is a colony of transparent tunicates. If you look closely, you can see their innards inside each one.
So, and the other thing that I think is just so cool about tunicates is, if you think about them evolutionarily, they are very, very primitive chordates, which is where all the vertebrates eventually evolve from. They have a sort of neural cord in their development. So they're kind of transition animals, which is sort of really cool to think about.
That's right. And that's only at one point in their development that they have that spinal cord.
Okay, we found ourselves another spot, and Wendy's pointing to, that is a little sea scallop.
Yep. And all along the edges of the scallop, there are little dots. Those are its eyes. But I learned that scallops can't see images. They just use their eyes to perceive light and darkness. So if we put our hand over it and create darkness, it will close up to protect itself.
I'm looking to see if I can see another scallop down here, and I'm seeing, of course, lots of the different kinds of tube worms we looked at, and mussels, and barnacles, and plumose anemones. Cool. So actually, now we're over here, and another thing about Wendy is she and her husband own one of the Thunderbirds in the Thunderbird fleet.
What is fun about having a Thunderbird, if you like looking at marine creatures, is that you have to have fenders to protect the boat from the dock. And I like looking under the fenders, because under the fenders you see incredible animals that grow on the plastic, including some invasive, non-native species. Let's see what's there today.
Okay, so let's get down. And Wendy's sort of turning the fender over a bit. This is the scuzz that a boat owner would be. Look at this.
This is
look.
Amazing. For one, here is the opalescent nudibranch.
Oh.
And see, it's been here for a few days now. I was hoping we'd see it. It's a beautiful nudibranch. Some call it the most beautiful invertebrate of all, because we see it dried out right now because I pulled it out of the water. But underwater, they look like feathers that are orange-tipped and white, and it's just a beautiful nudibranch. So it must be eating something that's growing on the fender. Now, look over here. This is a bryozoan, a black and red encrusting bryozoan that is a non-native species, very beautiful, and it has a pattern, kind of like a sunflower, has the pattern, the mathematical, what is that called, Fibonacci pattern. This has the same thing, because this looks like it's about 3 inches across. A bryozoan is known as a moss animal because it looks kind of like a moss or lichen, you know, growing here. But it's actually many little teeny animals that are clustered together in this pattern in order to live closely together in a colony.
So I didn't realize that the individual animals are sort of clustered in a Fibonacci sort of series. I mean, that's the same thing you see in chambered nautiluses and other wonderfully mathematical arrangements.
Yes, and in sunflowers. And
right.
So here we have a chitin. This is the first chitin we found today. And this is a mossy chitin. You can feel the little hair-like structures that are on the girdle surrounding this inch-long mossy chitin. And like all chitins, the mossy chitin has 8 plates. You can't really see because this one's so little. They just glide along grazing on algae. So there must be algae that we can't even see that's on this fender. And then this is, over here is another amazing thing. This is an ascidian colony. The ascidians are a type of tunicate. So in this case, this is called a harbor star ascidian. And it looks almost like a daisy, each one. So in this case, it's bright orange.
So I'm kind of looking at this bright orange, and it's sort of glob-like, and it's on the stalks of something. And then when Wendy said star-like, I'm going, star-like, okay, I'm just having to get a little closer.
More like daisy-like, I think. But it's called the harbor star ascidian. And each one of these teeny ovals is one animal, and they cluster about 20 of them in an around the center as if they're petals of a daisy is the way I would describe it. And you can see there are probably about 20 different daisies clustered together here. So it's the kind of glob that you wouldn't even notice, but when you look closely, there's incredible beauty in it.
And are they also filled or feeding?
I think they are, yes. That each individual, which is so teeny, the size of a grain of rice, each individual has its own intake valve. So I'm going to put this back in the water now.
Let it go back to protecting the hull of the boat from the dock and put those sensitive critters back in the water. Now we've walked over to a piling that's going down. Oh, and now I'm getting down close enough to go, oh, there they are. They are spectacular.
There are two of them here, and they're the only ones I've seen around here. These are beautiful painted anemones, and they are with their tentacles out that I'd say they're almost a foot across.
Yeah, they are lovely.
Wendy and I stayed out on the docks for about another half hour or so before we just got too cold and windblown. Well, with the obvious limits of radio, we couldn't visually share what we're seeing with you, but I do hope you enjoyed our belly biology field trip. Let's go back to that mystery sound. Let's hear it again.
That was the mating call of the male hooded merganser. The literal translation of the word merganser is sea duck, although it certainly can be found on freshwater lakes and rivers. This mating call sounds so much like the deep rolling croak of some frogs that in certain parts of the country, the hooded merganser is called a frog duck.
The male hooded merganser sports a spectacular and extravagant large white crest at the back of its otherwise small black head. Looking closer, these smallish ducks with thin bills are handsomely outfitted. They have black backs with neat white stripes, richly colored chestnut flanks, and a tidy white breast with black bars. Hooded mergansers are fairly common in our protected bays and coves. Often you'll see them in mixed flocks with other ducks, such as buffleheads. They dive for their food, usually small fish that they seize in their jagged, saw-like bills. And hooded mergansers find their prey underwater by sight. Quoting the Cornell Ornithology Lab website, they can actually change the refractive properties of their eyes to improve their underwater vision. In addition, they have an extra eyelid called a nictitating membrane, which is transparent and helps protect the eye during swimming, just like a pair of goggles. So moving along, what's happening in the natural history world this coming week or two?
Starting this week, the Port Townsend Marine Science Center begins its spring hours. Both exhibits are open Friday through Sunday from noon to 5 p.m.
And not exactly a natural history experience, but the Jefferson Land Trust is having an inaugural office painting party. Help them paint the newly renovated office on Lawrence Street in Uptown. Join them for this last step on Friday, April the 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Look for a lunar eclipse at 5 a.m. on Saturday, April 4th.
That's early. Also on Saturday, April 4th, help the Friends of Chimicum Creek keep the beach free of garbage and trash. They're meeting for a beach cleanup at the parking lot at the Irondale Beach County Park at 10 a.m.
On Saturday, April 11th, the North Olympic chapter of the Sierra Club is having an outing at Lake Ozette. The Lake Ozette Triangle Walk is rich with sea stacks, sea otters, sea lions, and America's wildest coastline south of Alaska. Pre-registration is required.
Also on Saturday, April 11th, Admiralty Audubon hosts a spring migratory bird walk along the Larry Scott Trail. Meet at the Milo Curry Trailhead parking lot at 10 a.m. The walk will be about 3 miles round trip. That's it for this episode of Nature Now. We hope you have enjoyed our program of authentic and eclectic news of the natural community where we live. Nature Now airs at noon on Wednesdays with repeats here on KPTZ, Thursdays at 5 p.m., and Saturdays at 11:30 a.m. Recent podcasts are also available.
Nature Now is produced by Nan Evans and edited by Charlie Fleischman. Production coordinator is Mike Schlexer. This week's closing music is Sittin' on the Dock of the Bay, performed by the Staple Singers.
I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I have nothing to live for. Looks like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide.